Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
And this half of the show brought to you by MedMen. Go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. All right, Gina Grad.
Well, you know how every year the Oxford Dictionary comes up with the word that really sums up the year. In the past, they've had, actually, last year I think it was youthquake. Before that was vape. Before that, it was just an emoji. This year is not any better or brighter. The word for 2018, as decided by the Oxford Dictionary, is toxic. It has chosen the word as its annual word of the year, arguing that it's the sheer scope of its application that made it the standout choice. Now, strictly defined as poisonous, Oxford Dictionary says that its research shows that, quote, this year more than ever, people have been using the word toxic to describe a vast array of things, situations, concerns, events. Meanwhile, Oxford adds that toxic has truly taken off into the realm of metaphor as people have reached for the word talking about workplaces. I was waiting for that. Schools, cultures, relationship stress, it's all toxic. Masculinity, so toxic.
So weird.
Yeah, that's our word. I mean, it's, the word last year or 2 years ago was vape, and then the other one was just an emoji. So how else could it possibly go?
You know, I could envision us, like, if you think about the folks that are into all this toxic masculinity and shit, it's progressive. You know, it's progressive. And the thing about progressive is the definition of progressive is we're moving forward. We're moving on. So right now we're like, hey, we should tear down that statue. We're sort of arguing about what statues, mascots and things like that need to be sort of removed. But soon I'll have it in, like, who built that Brooklyn Bridge? Bunch of white dudes. A lot of toxic masculinity.
That's right. Look at
Can't
it.
Building that bridge. That
we got to tear that shit down.
Standing erect.
Yeah. Let's tear that, because really, who built the Brooklyn Bridge? It was not the indigenous people.
Goddamn Chinamen.
That's the railroads.
That was the railroads. This is a bunch of Irishmen coming there. But a lot of white dudes and a lot of toxic masculinity built that bridge.
Yep.
So we need to go ahead and undo that. So let's cut those cables.
No, yeah. Seriously, Chinaman is the least offensive of all the ethnic slurs. Chinaman? Man from China? How's that?
Well, it just makes us look dumb for saying
it. Barely offensive.
Yeah. No, look, here's the thing about the offensive words.
Followed closely by Japs.
In
Japanese? Please. It's short.
I know.
You want to keep going, Ryan?
Yeah. I know. Hey, just called.
Well, you wrote this bit for me. I didn't think it was going to go this way.
No, I know, but it's an attack to call Susan Sue, Japanese Jap. Okay. The problem with all of this stuff is somebody decides it's offensive, and then we move on. We never really discuss it. Famously, tits. Always a no-fly zone on terrestrial radio. When I got to Kevin and Bean and K-Rock and all that, tits. Like, no tits. Can't say tits. How about titty bar? Let us check.
Right.
As if there was some expert on tits and linguistic tit expert in the corner office.
What about fortet?
No, Matt says no.
What about tit mouse?
You could suckle on a teat.
Yeah. It always kind of exposed the idiocy of all this when you had to parse out what version of what word you could use.
Now, you want to say golden bozos or Winnebagos or boobs or jugs or hooters. Do that in front of retarded kids. We don't care. But do not use the word tits. So I could say Gina's got a great rack.
Thank you.
And she's got great jugs.
I would make
this argument. Hold on a second.
A lot of words you could use.
It always made me mad because if you said a woman had jugs or bazoombas or whatever it is versus tits, tits was a smaller, cuter version of jugs. Mm-hmm. But jugs were D cup plus and tits were a nice B cup in my world.
Small with the T's and the I. Like.
So to use your logic, I don't even have tits.
No.
Oh, my God.
You do not.
You should be so lucky.
This is breaking.
No, if you say it, so in my tit logic, and about is it a drive from teat? Like it sounds like drive from teat. Like it has an origin.
Yes.
Whereas Winnebago
is from bosom.
All right, and jugs. Okay, but boobs. Okay, from but okay. I don't know how anything works. And I would just sit there. It's like the world's most confused atheist. If you say she has great tits, then that usually means an ample bosom. But if you just said, if you say tits, that means, I don't know, big, small, don't know. If you say jugs, that means big. So
now we're assigning
in terms
size.
Of describing something, if you're trying to get a little more salacious, jugs is more and boobs is more salacious than tits. But mm-hmm. it was always just described to me, you cannot say sure. tits. And then at a certain point, we evolved into, you could say titty bar. We're in a good mood. We're
we'll
feeling like
it.
You could say titty bar. Wow. Now you can say titty bar on any station, you know, any show, any station,
right.
whatever. And you probably say tits most places. Again, there are no real rules. There's just self-imposed weirdness, arbitrary weirdness that we get bored of and then move on from.
You can
That's
talk
where
about,
we're at.
And you can talk about being pissed off, but you can't talk about being pissed on.
Right. That's how it certainly used to be. And now you can probably do whatever you want. Now, when it comes to the racial slurs, Chinaman is just basically like Irishman, but it if you watched the show Kung Fu, and he would walk into a bar in the Old West, they'd go, "Hey, Chinaman, we don't like your kind here." So then there was a negative thing assigned to it because the guys who would call Kane Chinaman were the guys who would want to beat him up.
The bad guys.
And do you know what another example that is that I get asked about? I mean, I wouldn't say regularly, but often enough that I've noticed. People ask me, can I say Jew? Can I call someone a Jew?
I have come up against this. People are like, you can't say Jew.
It's weird.
Of course, like, what do you mean you can't say Jew?
And it's because, you know, when you think of how it's been you do people say you Jew? I don't know. But it seems like, well, of course. Why are you making, you know, somebody else's identity a bad word? But that's why.
Yes, I've come up against that.
Yeah.
Because
always,
you're a Jew?
Because no, I would say like, he's a Jew. Like, you can't say that.
He is
a Jewish person.
Hey, you guys should go back and watch Kung Fu because every single hey, but you got to fast forward. Start at the very beginning of Act One where Kane, who was David
Carradine.
Yeah. David Carradine. Beginning, very beginning Act One, it always just be, Max Fab, we're going to have to put one, we'll put one together and put it on the internet or something. Act One would be Kane walking barefoot into some sort of Western town.
Was he supposed to be Chinese?
I was just going to say, there's no way that would ever be allowed now.
He was.
Not timely.
No.
He was supposed to be, I think, half Chinese.
Okay.
Can't go full Chinaman like Robert Downey Jr.
Course,
says.
Right, no.
So he was, he'd just walk into a saloon and he'd go, you know, barkeep, go like, what do you want, Chinaman? And he'd go, I seek a glass of water. And he'd go, we don't serve your kind, Chinaman. And he'd go, I want no trouble. And then you'd fast forward.
There'd be trouble.
41 minutes and he'd be throwing wheel kicks into the face of everybody who lived in the town. And I always thought to myself, like even when I was nine, as a guy who makes the proclamation of no trouble in Act One, boy, does he kick the shit out of the whole town.
Sure
every
much.
Single episode.
Elbow deep in trouble.
Ends with him beating the shit out of everyone in the town.
It almost awesome. Invariably finds trouble.
It seems to find trouble.
Wants no trouble.
I wonder if Patrick Swayze's character in Roadhouse was based on that. Everything is be nice, be nice,
until
be nice.
Until you're not.
Until you can't be nice.
It was a perfect template. Later on, I would then watch Incredible Hulk and go, this exact same thing. Like, oh, Bill Bixby's coming to town. He wants to get a job as assistant zookeeper. All right, seems like a perfectly affable guy to me. Next thing you know, he's tearing the roof off the place and letting the elephants go free. You know, like burn the town down, and then he'd leave again and go do the same thing to another town. Now, in these shows, these two were always the victims, but we all knew dudes who always got into fights, and they always said, "Hey, man, I was just sitting at the bar minding my own business. This fucking guy comes up by him, starts talking about my old lady. And you started dawning you after about 3 weekends of throwing down that maybe this guy's the problem. Would you accept that if you're a Kane's therapist?
Hey, Kane, there seems to be one common factor
Once
in this.
Once again, I came to a town seeking water.
Okay, and you went in and you asked for water and he gave it to you? No problem, I assume?
He said he did not serve my kind.
Well, this is a business owner. Of course, he wants to, you know, sell drinks to whoever walks in his establishment.
I ask respectfully for water.
Okay, and then was there a confrontation? The words were exchanged? Don't tell me you got into another fight.
One moment. Let me kick my shoes off.
No, what happens? Don't do that.
Are you pressing me,
doctor? No, please, put the shoes. Put your feet up. Put your shoes on the couch. I'm fine with that.
Let me go into the praying lotus stance.
Okay, Kane, about that, there seems to be one common factor in all of these altercations. Can you think what it might be?
Hold on. Let me stretch out my...
No, don't stretch!
Go ahead.
Don't stretch. I feel like the only common factor here is you. It's not the other people. They're business owners, patrons of the said establishment. Probably out for a good time, happy hour.
Did I set my nunchucks down here? Or are they out in the car?
I never saw you walk in with them, so I have to assume they're in your car. We don't validate, by the way. I mean, we do, for you, validate.
Do you have a favorite orbital socket?
I don't favor one. That's a strange question. I don't know why I even thought to answer that.
So you're saying I should internalize?
I would recommend you take a look inside, take a long walk, listen to some classical music.
Speaking of internalizing, I'm going to put my big toe into your eye socket.
No, don't do that.
That's my coping mechanism.
It's odd that you would tell me that ahead of time.
So you're saying, simply based on me going from town to town and beating up everyone in every town.
Again, you're the through line here, the common thread.
Well, I like my old therapist, Marty, better.
How's he doing?
Well, when he gets out of the ICU.
Did he have an accident?
He unfortunately lost an eye due to my big toe as well.
That's a very unfortunate accident.
Yes. So, he started with this criticism of Kane, and now he's hooked up to a machine that breathes for him.
Did I say we validate barking?
And scene.
That's good stuff.
Find that episode.
It's Kane's therapist.
Kane's sitting in therapy trying to internalize any of this stuff. And listen, the Incredible Hulk could do the same thing. Like, oh, he fucking rolls into town.
My next appointment's here. Mr. Bixby, I'll be right with you.
Yeah.
So easily triggered.
I know.
Mr. Banner. Bixby is
Yeah.
Mr. Banner. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it is coming up real close to Thanksgiving, and thousands of turkeys are stolen from supermarkets every year around this time. Don't know if you knew that.
Didn't Jameis Winston steal a turkey?
Yes,
or
Jameson.
Something? Jameis Winston.
Jameis, sorry. Yeah. Jameis Winston.
Stole a turkey or something.
Yeah, well, apparently this happens 4 times more often.
He stole meat. I think he stole like lobsters or something. I think it was like shellfish or something.
Find out what it was.
Expat, don't you get some sort of newsletter or something on
still crabs.
Crabs, yeah.
Delicious crabs.
Yeah, don't throw away those shells. All right, that's Max Pen.
Some sort of newsletter.
Yeah.
Shellfish.
How do you steal turkeys?
Well, I'll tell you, because when I saw that, I was like, what? You stick it down your pants and nobody notices? But that's not the scam that most people have running.
Yeah, you got to run a scam. When I was going to say, anything that's the size of a medicine ball.
Yep.
A butterball, you got to run a scam. You can't do, hey, I'm going to slide it under my windbreaker.
You weren't pregnant when you walked in.
I used to steal turkey legs from Gelson's in North Hollywood when I was a kid. And the scam was go to the back, go to the deli counter. If anyone knows that, Gelson's, the deli counter used to be all the way in the back. Now it's in the front. They moved all the deli counters to the front now because I guess people are getting fatter and they don't want to walk as far for their ambrosia salad, and also they're stealing. Ooh. I just go to the back at the turkey leg and they put it up and they put the thing on it and they go, they give it to you. And now you got it, but you're in the store, but you got it, and now you just got to get out.
Yep.
I have a theory. So, okay, how they're pulling this off, I've noticed it in Starbucks, I've noticed it in Whole Foods, all the companies that are up on the app and the technology and everything now have this very easily exploitable, I wouldn't even call it a loophole, just a flaw in the system. If you order your Starbucks, you know, with the app or ahead of time, whatever, they have a tray, like pre-orders, and they'll just set them out. And people could very easily just walk up and like, oh, I'm Steve, and that's my latte.
I don't want to live in that world.
I agree, but you pay for it with the app, and it's just waiting for
you.
Well,
this is an inside job. Oh. So this is what they're saying is is such a big problem that now they have a way to counteract this specific problem. They say sometimes it occurs because supermarket cashiers slip a turkey past a scanner without scanning it, and they give the bird to their friends or somebody they've already made a deal with. So they're running everything through. They kind of miss the beep noise, put it in the bag, and that is a major loss prevention situation. So they've had to develop technology that can detect when a cashier fails to scan a turkey.
I'm guessing this is in rougher neighborhoods, not at the Sprouts.
Well, this is
Santa
in Massachusetts.
Monica.
Could be some Boston hooligans. Who knows?
Lowell, Massachusetts?
Well, it's called Stoplift. That's what they invented.
Here's the point. Every year, Floyd Mayweather Jr. and all these other guys hand out turkey.
Right.
What's his name? Manny Pacquiao.
That's a big deal. The good rich guy thing to do is to hand out turkeys.
Yep.
And I suggest that we figure out where most of this turkey theft is taking place and send the guys in their steak bed trucks who hand out the turkeys to the trouble spots. Like, we need to get the turkey guys that are giving out the turkey to go. We call it, the app is called Talking Turkey. And we find out where
there's the most turkey talk.
Where the most turkey talk, turkey thievery is right. going on, and then get the ex-boxing champs to go to those neighborhoods.
See, this is an interesting...
I just got an alert on my phone.
This is an interesting take for you, and I like it. Everyone else says, they're stealing turkeys. We gotta put cameras now on the cashier. We got to have an alert for the manager every time something gets scanned. And you're taking the, dare I say, Christ-like approach and saying, we need to go ahead and give them what they clearly need, not put an eye in the sky everywhere in the shop mart.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's any black market for turkeys.
Dark market.
Dark meat market for turkeys. My feeling is somebody who steals it and goes home and cooks it while they're still involved with criminal behavior, I look at them much differently than the guy who steals the turkey and sells the turkey.
Agreed.
That guy I got no time for.
All right. Well, stay out of Massachusetts if you don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, my sister who lives up in Topanga. Oh. And she
safe up there?
Well,
hard to get in and out, I bet.
Yeah. It's a weird thing with evacuations. It's a weird kind of catch-as-catch-canny thing, which is she got evacuated, her neighbor chose to stay, and now her neighbor's getting on with his life, but she's not allowed to come back to her house.
Oh,
right.
So
that's odd.
They never really know. Well, I guess evidently in 1993 when they had a really bad fire up there and it just took out everything, a lot of the same conditions were at play. So they had a fire. They thought they kind of had the fire contained and they let everyone back, or they didn't tell everyone to evacuate, whatever it is. And then the winds kicked up, sure. And then all of a sudden they had a situation.
Right.
So as far as Thanksgiving goes, trying to figure out whether we go to her house and she gets back in her house. Mm. It's also weird when you're talking to someone who's been evacuated and they're going, well, maybe we just buy a turkey this year. And you go, really?
Oh, I was kind of looking forward to the homemade stuff.
Yeah. I mean, couldn't you have your neighbor make you a turkey who's allowed back in this house, and then he could bring it to my house and then I could just eat it in front of my house? Like, it's a weird world we're living in, because here we are in Thanksgiving, coming up on Thanksgiving, and we're worried about Santa Ana hot, dry winds. Like, where, I don't know, you're talking about Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're worried about 90 degree winds.
I doubt
stoking
it.
Fires over
it's
there.
Pretty bad over there right now.
It's a weird time of year here, too, where like midday, it's warm. It's a warm, like midday temperature, but morning and at night, it's very cold.
Very cold. And where I am in the kind of foothillsy area, I take Phil out for that walk, man. I'm putting my gloves on. Yeah, which is nice. Although I got to tell you, Phil, like a good piece of machinery, runs a lot better in the cold.
That makes sense.
In the hot, every 40 feet, he's got to lay down somewhere and just conks out on someone's lawn and finds some shade and just plops out. And
I
try to drag him, and I can't drag him, and he won't move.
Phil's best qualities when you try to move, he doesn't want to move, he grunts. He just goes, whoa.
He doesn't try and bite or anything.
No, he just likes, he just makes a weird grunt noise.
When I saved your dog's life the other day outside the shop, he made a grunt. I think it was a grunt of acknowledgement, like
begrudgingly.
But it was like a, yeah.
All right, Sugar Bear.
All right.
Let me tell you about, let me tell you about MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers are everywhere and everyone. Let's drop the labels. If you're an executive or a parent, you are a customer at MedMen. There's something for everyone, whether you're new to the cannabis world or familiar with things like flower, lotion, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and beyond. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable and puts you at ease. You can check out one of their 14 retail locations in L.A., Orange County, and San Diego, and now open Las Vegas, right on the strip at Paradise and Harmony. You can visit MedMen.com to find the store nearest you today at MedMen.com. Right, Dawson?
And for our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Keep out of reach of children, for use only by adults 21 years of age. In order, check out MedMen today.
Hey, was I telling you? Yeah, I was telling you guys yesterday that Mike had a procedure where he had a finger up his ass to readjust his coccyx.
You were telling everyone at the party.
I was telling everyone at the party.
To climax.
And one of the gals had basically convinced me, I was lying to myself, that he definitely came in his pants time. I talked to Mike today. He said no.
I think he would have been honest with you.
Oh, yeah. He said he'd still be doing it now.
You would have liked that.
Yeah. He said, no, absolutely not. It's the most painful thing in the world. So, you know, just wanted to clear the air.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.
It was a funny conversation I had with Mike. But, yeah.
He called me today to say the same.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He literally, he had to have
now I can sleep tonight.
He had to have essentially a backdoor chiropractor adjust him from the inside out.
Wait a second. Now I'm worried about Mike, because you know that in all of this Olympic scandal controversy, that was one of the moves from the Olympic doctor. We have to align you anally. And they were like, I don't think you do. So was his doctor's name Nasser?
Oh.
Asser.
I'm worried about him now.
I should check. I think it was
he's going back for a follow-up again today.
I think it was a gal.
Oh.
And, well, it's an interesting choice.
What's her last name? Caroli?
May make. Bella.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I've talked to two people in 2 days who have had a digit dropped on them anally to realign things that were inside of them.
Interesting.
Both to great positive effect.
Huh.
Now, I don't want to defend this man.
I sure hope not.
But here goes. Well, look, I'm no expert anal witness, but I did happen to talk to someone in two different people in a 12-hour period.
Never stood up straighter afterwards?
Who had now, this is part of a procedure, but they had them dropped in to fix a tilted cervix.
Oh, my.
I said, good, weird, but good name for a lesbian sports bar.
The tilted cervix.
And the other one had the coccyx thing, and they're both fixed.
Interesting.
Case closed.
Well.
Don't let him out.
What are you whining about, gymnasts?
Yes. Come on. So also, Max Pata, well, save it for favorite tweets maybe, but somebody tweeted me in the realm of in bad taste that Catch a Predator's back on, and somebody showed up with a pizza.
Oh, boy.
What?
But they didn't do my advice, which was send over a pizza and wait outside. Don't show up with the pizza, you idiot, unless you can get one of those Domino's vests. Yeah.
This is big. I didn't know this. This is. Are you sure? It's back? Really?
I got it. I've been very busy the last couple of days. I haven't spent a lot of time looking into it, but somebody sent me a tweet and it said that Catch a Predator's back.
Hashtag have a seat.
And
they ensnared Jack Silver on several occasions.
Jack, would you like some sweet tea and Toll House cookies? And then I don't work, you know, and I'm so freaked out by that show that if I knock on, you know, if my daughter's bedroom door shut, and I knock on the door, and Natalia goes, "Oh, let yourself in. I'm in the bathroom." I'm like, I don't think so. I don't want to
fall for this.
Yeah,
not today, Satan.
Yeah, big camera crew. Everyone stand on a chair with a camera. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But somebody showed up with a pizza, or somebody tweeted me. I'll have to next back and look it up. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this particular video that you're tweeted was posted 5 days ago, but there was one from a year ago that's the same video, so we don't know if
it's new or not. But
yeah, how new it is, but
oh my god,
guy showed up with a pizza.
Yeah, let's watch it.
But again, the strategies have a pizza sent over.
Sorry. Oh, he wants to.
She got really close to him. They usually don't.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'll settle into it.
Okay.
So, kind of pitchy matches.
What kind of pizza we have tonight? Who's this?
Oh, boy.
We'll get to that in a minute. Who are you?
Yes.
Oh, no. Who are you? You tell me first.
Oh, no.
You're Jeff, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And what are you doing here tonight, Jeff?
Hanging out.
Hanging out with who?
My new friend.
Spicoli. Having a little pizza.
I want to know who you are. I want to know a little bit more about you first. Can I eat first?
Sure, go ahead.
Wow.
He's so relaxed.
Having some pizza.
He eats a slice of pizza.
Tell me who you are.
Now, hold on.
He knows he's not going to eat for a while in jail.
The whole statutory rape thing, I am not a fan of. But if this is medium crust pizza, I'm going to fucking blow a fucking gasket.
That's a crime.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say which one's worse. But if that's fucking medium crust, I'm going to go ballistic on this guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
You'd tackle him.
All right. So once again, the plan is send over a pizza. Don't walk in with the pizza.
Don't be the guy with the pizza.
Thank you.
I'm inclined to believe this is new because in my multiple viewings of the original TCAP, the girl, the bait.
Never in there.
Huh?
Yeah, she doesn't sit in the room with the guy.
Once the guy walks in, she walks out. She's never that close to the guy, so maybe they're trying to amp it up a little bit.
I'm going to talk to Garrigus about this, but as I've said, they always use women who are over 18 playing under 18.
Right.
But if, in fact, the person is over 18 and you're trying to have sex with them, they're still technically over 18. Like, if you could go,
I got it.
I do a little role-playing with my old lady.
That's a good point.
She pretends she's the waitress from Denny's, but she's not really the waitress from Denny's.
I think Garrigus would get them on something called intent because they were communicating with someone online they believe to be 14 or 15 or whatever.
Yeah, called role-playing. I do it all the time. Thank you.
I know I've suggested this before, but just in case it is back on, you know who we should have on? The guys from Perverted Justice.
They
do this. They are the ones who ensnare the dudes.
I love it.
I don't think it's back on. This is an old video.
God damn it.
We should have them on.
All right. Well, this will brighten your spirits. I'm sure of it. There are very few worlds in which Star Trek actor William Shatner has not left his mark. And
Hold on. Do they say to him, "You're free to go"? Because my favorite part of the show is when he just goes, "I'm sorry. I'm going to get back in my truck." And they go, You're free to go.
He just goes,
"You're free to go." And they get up, they leave, and then the Fresno Popo. My favorite part is they yell, "Get down." But before the guy gets down, they jump on him.
Yeah. It's good TV.
Sorry.
So Shatner, some delightful Shatner news. Mm. 87 years old now. 87 years young. He can add Christmas album to his list of credits.
No.
He's debuting his first ever Christmas album called Shatner Claus. Just in time for the holiday season, fans are treated to collabs with Iggy Pop, Brad Paisley, Judy Collins, Billy Gibbons, so many more. Shatner told Fox News the album, quote, "I think people will have a wonderful evening listening to this album. It's a really joyful celebration of Christmas. Would you like to hear a snippet of Blue Christmas with Brad Paisley and William Shatner?"
Yes, I was at Shatner's equestrian event, as I told you.
Right.
I don't know, when was that? 4 months ago or something like that? Age is such a weird thing because you sit across the table from Shatner at 87 years old and you have no idea how old he is.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you wouldn't even say, is he 50, is he 30, is he 80? It's like he's just
he just is.
He's just Bill Shatner talking.
Yeah.
Like there's no, like, "I'm sorry, I can't hear you," or "a little trouble getting up here," you know, like pushing off the table. It's there's something nutty going on with that guy. I don't know if he's juicing or what's going on, but that guy does not appear to be any age.
Right.
Just Bill Shatner, just talked to you. Fun, funny.
Yeah.
Totally lose it. Not doesn't do that thing where it's like, oh geez, what was that guy's name? You know, like none of that, just boom, boom,
boom. He's there.
Yeah.
It's present. Crazy. Well, I'm gonna play you a little Blue Christmas. This is his duet with Brad Paisley. Stop it when you want, but I think we got about a minute or so.
Okay.
Wow, this storm is never gonna end. Oh man, the snow is piling up. We're stuck here. We're stuck at Hey, is that Brad Paisley? Yeah, that's Brad Paisley. He's stuck here, too. I'll have a blue Christmas.
This guy sounds like Rich Eisen.
I fucking...
I'll be so blue.
Oh, please listen.
Brian's upset. Yes.
I hate this shit, and I hate the people who like this shit.
Nobody likes it.
Brian, you're talking over it.
I hate the people who like things ironically, like, oh, Bill Shatter, Rocket, man, isn't it great? No, it's not great. It's a fucking novelty record that should have died 20 years ago. But we're still talking about it because you idiots are our hipster douchebags who like things ironically.
Trying to support Bill.
Fuck you. I'm not talking to you.
Thank you.
And when those blue...
Yeah.
Snowflake.
Here's my thing with singing.
It's like people...
You should do it if you're doing an album.
If you don't sing, then don't sing. That's kind of my rule with the singing. I feel the same way about baking and many other things. Driving. You know, it's just, if you can't do it, don't do
you
it.
You open the Poppin' Fresh Dough.
Yeah, or send out to... send out to Sweet Lady Jane's or something. You know what I mean? Just don't do it. Or learn.
Gross.
Yeah.
Right. Turn this off or it ruins Christmas for
Oh my goodness.
Christmas music is sacrosanct. It's beautiful. It's 1 month out of
but
the year.
But wait, my thing about Shatner and Nimoy and
Uhura.
Yeah, Uhura. Check. The rest of the commander. When those guys are doing their albums, I think they're being earnest about it. And that's what makes it bizarre. For me, like when they're really trying, like they think they're doing something, now it starts floating over into the Tango and Cash Cobra part of the world, which is Stallone thinks he's making a good movie. Mm-hmm. And now that somehow makes it endlessly fascinating for me. Now, you can go Spinal Tap, and I love it, but they know what they're doing. Right. When Stallone does Cobra, he's serious about it, and that's what makes it nuts to me.
The difference is Spinal Tap's music far, 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 far better than this. The actual music.
Oh,
product.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I wanted to get to Lil Wayne and on SNL.
I knew it.
But I've oftentimes said, if your music can be parodied and the people who parody it are sort of as good as you are, then that's bad for you.
Do you know who the ultimate example of that is? And I think we've talked about it a long time ago. The genius H. John Benjamin. You know who that is. Bob's Burgers and Archer, and he's a stand-up. He did that that jazz piano album a couple years ago where he basically – hired a bunch of real studio jazz musicians to really kick ass and play, and he doesn't know how to play anything, and he just starts tinkering around on the piano. They're getting pissed. He's like, hey, I'm paying you. And that's the album to show that, like, it's the same. His song is called I Can't Play Piano Parts 1-4.
Oh, I've never even
it's
heard
hysterical.
That.
It's hysterical. Pull it up if
but
you
I'm
want.
But I'm not
really
sure
funny.
If that makes my point. Unless it's...
But he's proving that point, like...
Well, no, but not really, because he's proving he can't play the piano.
And that it sounds the same.
Well, we'll hear it, but I don't think he can do it on his own, is what I'm saying. This is the best genre of jazz, by the way. Fuck yourselves with your world music, assholes. Funny.
Isn't that great?
It's funny, but you don't think, well, you'd have to hear it. You have to acclimate. Like, you have to go like, oh, wait a minute.
This goes on for 18 minutes.
That's good.
It's It's funny
maybe
as shit, but it's not
point,
really.
But okay.
It's not my point.
Worth bringing up.
But it's funny. It's really creative and it's really interesting and it's a super funny idea. And I'm glad you brought it to my attention. Yeah. Now never speak again.
Okay.
When somebody does your genre and they do it, like we were talking about T-Pain, I'm in love with a stripper, and I was saying if somebody parodies that, you don't know if that's a parody or not a parody, and that's not a good sign right. for any form of art or automotive design or anything. When someone's making fun of Ferrari, they do a car that looks better or is good. That's a weird thing.
Right.
So I happen... And maybe they shouldn't do this because SNL last week had Lil Wayne as the musical guest, but then also did a rap parody in the middle that had Lil Wayne in it as well. And it's kind of hard to tell the difference between like which one was the serious effort and which one was the comedians making fun of rap. But I'll play you a few minutes of each if you have it, Max.
Yeah, Pata. So here's the – you want the actual song first?
We'll do the actual song
okay,
first.
This one's which, called- Uproar.
Which was fine. It was not, you know, DJ Khaled pointing at the ceiling. Sorry, go ahead.
1, 2, 3, we are. Oh! What the?
Down.
What?
Where the love go?
Oh!
5, 4, 3, 2, I let one go.
Let's go!
Get the down. Out the ground. Aiming at your head like a buffalo.
Oh!
You're a roughneck.
Whoa!
I'm a cutthroat.
Whoa!
You're a tough guy. That's a tough joke.
Oh!
Then the sun dies. The night is young, though. The diamond still shines.
All right, you get it.
What is happening?
I don't know what it is, but it's something. But then they did a really funny parody in the middle of it, of the middle of the show, which is Keenan Allen, I think, and I can't remember the other gentleman's name. But anyway, go ahead and play some of that.
Sorry. I'm on a mission for that ass, but first I need
permission.
Before we talk booty, talk
emotion. That's Lil Wayne, isn't it?
Get
emotional and putting on protection. Respect is the game, and booty is the scrimmage. And I play good defense if that booty get offended. Love that booty tender, never get aggressive. That booty got insurance, that booty got progressive. Where the love go, that booty's where the love at. All that booty on you got you looking like a hunchback. Respect the lady, so I treat you like a equal. Got me staring at that booty like an eagle. Yeah, I see you,
too. Touch your booty if you wanna.
Put that booty
on the floor.
Equal
rights for that booty.
That progressive, yeah, that
wrong. I'm on a mission for that ass, but first I need permission.
It's a funny, you can
this
start it.
This song's 100 times better.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of weird. Like I said, I'm always very proud of whenever anyone does their Adam Carolla impersonation. They go, nah, 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 nah. I'm a traffic sign, nah, 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 2x4s, nah, 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 plywood. But if they just were super funny and funnier than me, I'd go, I'd be worried.
Right.
I'd feel like, oh,
well,
I like that. Right. So it's weird. I'm sure you can do your John Popper impersonation all you like, but
you gotta be able to blow that heart.
You gotta get the harmonica out and do something, and that's gonna be hard.
Yeah.
If you find toward the beginning of the song, it's a funny bit. It's two dudes that are sort of like the booty kings talking about back that booty up, and then at some point they find out it's disrespectful and they have to start changing their tune.
They're making it rain into the women's right funds can.
Yeah, and so they start realizing they need to ask permission.
Right.
And so they got kind of the booty guys who got Me Too'd. It's quite a bit. Well, here's the point. It's funnier than Lil Wayne stuff. It's certainly more clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has some. It has a sort of beginning, middle, and end, and an arc, and a this and that. But the actual execution of it is the same as well.
It's great.
So I don't know if the cast from SNL can just sort of do what you do.
Yeah.
How difficult is what you're doing? Is my question. Sorry. Max Pat, I'll find it first. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're pulling it up right now. We're queuing it.
All right. I will.
Yeah, this is a Lil Wayne and Future, and then it also has Kenan Thompson, Pete Davidson, and Chris Redd in it.
But the beginning part is just Kenan and is it Chris?
Chris Redd.
Yeah, there's the two at the beginning. We'll just let you hear it. It's kind of funny, and it's all back that booty up talk, and then they realize that's disrespectful, so they have to change their tune. SNL is good.
Is your ass on the menu?
Okay, sorry, we're just here with our friends.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Cool. Have a good night.
So wait.
Huh?
You're just gonna respect our wishes?
Hell yeah.
Time to change.
We on some new respectful stuff. So shake that booty. If you wanna
drop that booty. Oh, you gotta start at the beginning, Max Beth. Beginning of the beginning?
Okay.
That's what beginning means? Mm-hmm. That's the part where they discover they've done wrong, but the first minute is them just talking about backing up that booty. I do believe. Booty Kings.
Booty Kings.
And
Uncle Butt.
Booty Kings.
Yeah, we the kings of that booty.
Uncle Butt.
Yeah, leg out. Leg out. Leg out. Leg out. Leg out. Booty Kings in the building, so the girls gon' shake. Shorty skirts so tight, you would think that she was naked. Bottoms up, I ain't talk about the drink. Man, that booty so cold, it came with skates and a rink. I'm nasty, I bite your booty like an apple. Champagne down your back, then I drink it like a snapper. What you think, mom? Is your ass on the menu?
Okay, sorry, we're just here with our friends.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Cool, have a good night.
So wait,
huh?
You're just gonna respect our wishes?
Hell yeah.
Time to change.
We on some new respectful stuff. So shake that booty.
If you wanna
drop that booty,
it's a choice.
We would love to touch your booty,
but we will respect your voice.
Pop that booty.
If you feel it,
drop it low.
If you insist,
we gon' treat that booty right.
Cause we allies in this bitch.
I'm on a mission for that ass, but first I need
permission.
All right. You got it. Right. Max, man, play from the beginning next time. Give a ball.
Okay.
That's the setup. You had like 40 seconds of them being the Booty Kings, and then they got schooled up, and they realized they made a change. By the way, smart bit. Funny,
yeah.
Funny bit. Good. And then the whole rest was super booty talk, but with permission.
That's right.
First.
Respectful.
Yeah. Okay. Funny bit.
That's great.
All right. Let me do Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob, your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine. Pizza guy. Catch a predator. Did he get tackled? Did he get to leave?
Not necessarily, but it was a little different of how he exited.
See.
Okay, let's see what Chris says.
I don't want to talk anymore.
You can leave.
I'm going to shut it off.
I cannot shut it off.
Okay,
I mean,
how?
What is this?
It's an investigation for a television program. Will he investigate grown people who go online and try to create inappropriate illegal relationships with underage children?
But in all my years of catching these guys, I've never had an offer like this.
You can take your pizza if you like.
You want a slice?
I'm good, thank you very much.
How about you guys? So the cops here?
Well, one way to find out.
We'll see.
Sokol isn't getting seconds. His next meal will be in jail.
Come on out. Let's go.
Yeah, cops are waiting.
Garage.
Yeah. I feel like on my hands I take that slice. And I know it sounds like, oh, we've broken bread or something. It's really just more me wanting pizza.
Yeah.
They brought it.
Practical, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You're medium crust, though.
Yeah, I got to figure out.
Carrying that big lugging camera around.
All right, let's do one more.
All right, well, I certainly hope this next story doesn't affect us here over at Corolla Digital. Many offices will do without the office holiday party this year. 35% of 150 companies surveyed are skipping the end of the year shindig, which make it the highest tally of corporate party poopers since 2009. That's according to – that was when the U.S. economy was barely coming out of recession. But that's not why, Brian.
No, this is like
a
liability thing.
This is part of the Me Too movement. They said it's not worth it. People are drunk. People are intermingling. It's midnight. It's 1 a.m. We're not taking on that liability.
Fuck you guys. I'm doubling down.
Of the companies throwing a holiday bash, nearly 58% reported addressing the Me Too movement with their staff this year. And people are just saying it's just not worth it.
Yeah, if you're a company, it probably isn't worth it.
There's no more butts on the Xerox and Making out people's offices.
You know, if you look at it, the second we start calling it a holiday party where we'd fucking jump the shark as a nation, it's a goddamn Christmas party. Number one. But number two, if you are thinking about throwing a party and you're the company, well, then it's like you got to rent out the whatever and you got to buy the whatever and you got to do something, right? So it's a decent sized expense. So now somebody goes, well, who wants to shell out a bunch of money at the end of the year to watch employees get fatter? And you go, I don't, but...
Who wants to look like the bad guy?
Everyone will be pissed if I don't. And now you go, yeah, but what about this whole liability thing or the Me Too thing? And you go, shrewd, smart. Now I won't do what I don't want to do already, but I will hide under the umbrella of responsibility.
Yep.
And I'll blame it on the suits. You know, I mean, the lawyers.
I love her, but that was Teresa Strasser's very clever way around doing all the wedding stuff, the sending out the invitation. I'm going green. Like, you just want to email invitations. I get it. That's a great idea.
Hey, we all left with a book.
What do you mean?
Remember?
What?
At the reception?
Oh, because they're the library.
Yeah.
Like, they're giving away books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember that? That was
they
cool.
Didn't buy them.
We go burn mine.
Teresa, I'm saying she's listening. Shrewd move.
So... 35% of companies aren't going to have it?
35% are skipping it. And 58% are already addressing Me Too stuff with their staff, probably in preparation for the party.
I don't know. We're definitely doing ours.
Yeah.
Definitely going to get our swerve on.
BBQ.
And we'll get some BBQ going. And I just fucking pray to Christ. Can we avoid this? I don't make a lot of rules, but can we avoid the... Somebody brought somebody's crazy effed up sister something, and then she just walked around and did the fucked up. You remember me? You know who I am? You know who I am?
Yeah.
And she's not invited. It's a weird gene. The gene of I must bring this person. Also, don't you know who that person is? Like, you know that person's a mess or that person drinks too much. And then when you get to the party, you like distance yourself.
You ditch them.
From the person.
You're their wrangler.
God, I remember one time that the greatest example is all. It's happened to me a million times. I'm like, why did you bring that person? All that person did was get drunk and like hassle people, make them uncomfortable. And then, of course, the next day, I was like, who the fuck is that person? Like, someone goes, that was my sister. And you go, like, why did you bring her? Like, why? And they go, I don't know. And like, they never have a. There was one time. I was having a New Year's party. It was kind of like me and Jimmy were having a New Year's party at the old party house. And Ray wanted to bring somebody. And I just said, who is this dude? And he's like, it's Mike, you know? And I was like, how well do you know Mike? It always starts off as like, oh, we're good friends. I'm like, when's the last time you talked to Mike? 4 years.
You know Mike.
Yeah, it's like they never, they're not. And I just said, like, don't do it. You can come. Don't. Do it. But you can come, but don't bring Mike or whoever this guy is. I don't know. And then at the end of the party, it was like 2:30 at night. Everyone had filed out. There was one dude with a fucking mohawk who was like passed out on a table, like had his head down on a table with a beer and a mohawk. And it was just me and Jimmy and his wife and my wife. And we're just standing there like cleaning up beer bottles. And I don't know who this guy with no right, no anybody. And here's the guy with the mohawk. And I don't know who this guy is. And everyone's scared to go poke at him because I don't even know. Zane was like, you know him, Jimmy. Do you know this guy? I don't know this guy. Yeah, Lynette, you know, they're seeing this guy. No, I didn't see him. Blah, 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 blah. Go fucking wake up. Guess who it was?
It could be anyone.
And then I just started yelling at Ray, you're not going to any other parties. I go, fine. And it's like, okay. I what is that stupid gene? What? I really
identified it, the stupid gene.
Why? Okay. But why do so many people are so hell-bent on fucking themselves over at all costs? What is that gene? I know so many people that do that. My dad's that way. Like, I know adults, I know kids, I know middle-aged people. It's a crazy gene, and I can't figure it, it out.
It's like the gauche gene. No, if you either have it or you don't, because there's no in between. There's no like, should I bring this person? It's like, fuck yes or
They're coming.
No. Or I would assume the three of us would be like, absolutely not. I'm not going to invite someone else.
Well, that's one thing that I'm super hardcore about, and you guys can attest to it. I have no desire to bring a plus one to anything. I mean, the cruise was a big, big deal for me. I just like, you know, if it's for work or whatever, it's like, I'm working. I go up, I show up, I see my friends, I see my coworkers. I don't need to bring somebody with me to do that.
But also, you find out during the course of the party, it's not like Ray even talked to this guy or hung out with him.
Sure, Ray left the chick or something.
Or he said like, well, this guy's my wingman. Or hey, there was nothing. He just left. I mean, it's like nothing in it for you. Other than not doing what I ask. I mean, which I guess is kind of the ultimate rush that people seem to have, which I shall do the opposite of what you want.
We don't talk about gauche enough. That's gauche.
Mm.
You know, that's a word that doesn't come up anymore. No one talks about that. That's gauche. Inviting someone to party number one and then doing the whole thing where you're like, do your own thing. I'm going to be over here. I'm going to leave without you. That's not how you do it.
Mm. You know what? It takes a lot of gumption to bring up gauche. I like
that. It's gauche.
Mm-hmm. Ish. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. I don't even have tits.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Simply Safe, looking for her home security, can be a pain. Simply Safe is awesome. You get the home security, and you get the home security you want. Ridiculously easy to use. No hidden fees or pricey contracts. Get yours at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, good sports with Damashek coming up in just a second or two. Thanks for a great week, y'all. Anaheim Grove, Anaheim, us doing a live pod with Rob Riggle, November 30th. Come on out, see how the fudge is packed. Corolla Drinks, we got a Christmas crate going on there. Say hello to Lynette, CorollaChristmasCrate.com. Corolla Drinks, Fantasy BS Podcast with Brian and Sunny Boy over there. Check that out. Subscribe at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. And Ken Block, check out Gymkhana Files. Check that show out on Amazon today. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Ken Block and AJ Ben. And, AJ Benza. Sorry, different guy. AJ Benza and he's an author, AJ Benza. AJ Benza and Gina Grand Ball Brian Saint. Mahalo. I have black friends. You know, I can't be racist.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show, and we'll go over all that later. Right now, just keep your ears where they are, because coming up, Adam Carolla and Dave Damashek for the Friday edition of Good Sports right after this.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House, because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. I mean, here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. NFL Week 11 coming at you momentarily. In fact, it's already underway. So many sports we can talk about, but we're talking Game of Life. Specifically this week, it feels like we've pretty much devoted the entire gaggle of Good Sports episodes to the Game of Life in the movies, as are represented by the movies. And Ace, you had a great idea of what you call it, reading ahead in the script, right? Mm-hmm. How do you explain? How do you say that? How do you articulate that?
People react in a way that is totally counterintuitive to how any human being would act if they didn't know what was going on. So if somebody rang your doorbell and you answered the door in a 7-foot guy in a Grim Reaper outfit took a sickle and took a swing at you, you'd freak out, panic, and whatever else. If somebody said to you, hey, the doorbell's going to ring in a minute, Tim is wearing some lift shoes, he's got a plastic sickle, and he's going to try to scare you, then you would react by going, hi, Tim, and not reacting, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So presumably in movies, even though they have scripts, we're supposed to follow the character as if they don't know. They don't know they're going to, the wife is going to ask for a divorce, or they don't know that they're going to be a shootout or a car chase or whatever. But when the guy says, "Hi, Tim," instead of reacting how everyone would react, I call that reading ahead in the script.
It's bogus. You're right. And that made me think of, you played some great ones. Go back and listen to the Thursday episode. Ace really proves this point beautifully with the first scene of Tango and Cash. It made me think of another 80s gem, one of the real classics.
Oh, wait. Or as Lynette knows it, the last scene in Tango and Cash.
It's a short film.
She can't get through the whole movie. She doesn't realize greatness. Cinematic greatness is lost upon her.
See, that's why I come in here. So to remind you that you're not the crazy one.
Oh, hell to the no.
So I was thinking about this. Lethal Weapon has at least one of those. The one that jumps to my mind is when Riggs, we know he's crazy now. Now it's established. He's loco, you know. He can't be trusted.
Yeah.
And so to prove that point a little bit further, there's a guy on a warehouse who's thinking about committing suicide, and he's standing up on the edge of what is it, like a four-story, would you say, warehouse there in Los Angeles somewhere, probably the industrial district in downtown L.A.
Yeah.
So the guy's going to kill himself, and Riggs goes up there, and he tries to talk the guy down. Then he handcuffs himself to the guy, and the guy's freaked out.
Right.
But watch what happens now here. Listen here. Here's Riggs talking to the suicidal guy.
Fuck you! I'm jumping!
Do you really want to jump? Do you want to? Well, then that's fine with me.
Calling his bluff.
Let's do it, asshole. Let's do it. I want to do it.
Foot first. By the way, the guy could have offered a little resistance to jumping.
They jumped off the roof.
Yeah, like the Beacons building in downtown. Like,
cut away to Danny Glover. He can't believe he killed himself. Oh, wait. The police sent up a giant block-wide inflatable thing to jump into.
Airbag.
Airbag thing.
Why didn't the guy on the roof know that was... Did he know it was there?
Why was he so scared that he jumped off the roof? We're led to believe... And in fact, by the way, Murtaugh doesn't apparently know it based on the look when they cut away to his face. Oh, my God. Riggs just killed himself and this guy who's suicidal. Oh, wait. Nobody ever referenced the guy who's suicidal. Like, hey, you know, I know we're handcuffed and everything. I don't know if you noticed, but the fire department showed up and inflated that giant thing over the last 25 minutes or so. So no real harm to any of us.
That's a weird scene because there is a version where he's aware that it's set up but says, I don't want to jump anyway. Like, people... My daughter would jump off a bridge into a river, but my son wouldn't do it.
Yeah, you could add one line. Right, that's right.
The ultimate read ahead in the script game I just thought of. A movie I enjoyed. A movie that I didn't look at as that insane. I mean, it was insane, but it was insane in a fun way. True Lies.
Mm.
When one of the greatest movie scenes ever, when Schwarzenegger's chasing the crazy terrorist who's on the motorcycle and they're going up, then he gets into the elevator on a horse and blah blah blah, and the guy on the motorcycle who had read ahead in the script at some point on the roof revs it up and just launches himself on the motorcycle into the night on the 30th floor of a commercial building and goes right off into a swimming pool that's on the 18th floor roof of a neighboring building. A low percentage chance that one's ever going to work out.
We see a lot of people taking that bet in movies, though.
Yes.
Jumping out of into another building.
Lower percentage, and definitely read ahead in the script, was Schwarzenegger then wanting to follow him on a horse.
I completely forgot this scene.
Schwarzenegger was like, all right, if he made it on that motorcycle, I can surely make it on this horse.
Look at this. What?
Now,
that motorcycle can fly.
Then Schwarzenegger, now watch the decision. Now, don't tell me Schwarzenegger didn't read the script. He gets on the horse, he backs it up, and he goes, come on, we got a 30-foot run at it. Yeah! Dave, what are the chances that horse would make it to the pool?
The horse has no sense whatsoever.
I would argue, what if the horse makes it to the pool? He had to jump. He had to cross a major thoroughfare. He had to cross a major street on a horse.
That's Schwarzenegger. He's the FBI's top cop or CIA or whatever he is.
I've watched a lot of equestrian events. I know Bill Shatner's he's a dear friend. I've been to many charity events with him. I have seen horses try to clear that 6-foot log and trip almost every time. I
jump across a city street.
I've seen competitions. Chris Reeves is not with us anymore because he was on a horse to try to clear a 4-foot hedge.
And he was made of steel.
And he was a man of steel. I've never seen a horse go building to building, not in a city, you know, residential, sure. I've never seen a commercial building where you had to cross literally Ventura Boulevard in the air and make it to a neighboring pool. And I submit that Schwarzenegger read ahead in the script. I don't care how bold you were, how confident or how resolute you were. You would never turn that horse around on the roof of a building and launch yourself into the night air.
Adam Carolla's defending your movie life. I mean, the first guest definitely has to be Stallone, but Schwarzenegger's right behind him there. And then I want the guy who played Nick Cage's brother in Face Off to come in and explain the whole movie is based around the fact that one man's face can be taken off and put on another, and no one's going to bat an eye, including Travolta's wife, who, when Nick Cage comes in there with Travolta's face on, beds her. They've shared a bed for 15 years together, but she doesn't notice any differences in wiener or otherwise. But the brother, as soon as Nick Cage walks up to him in the joint, says, "What was my medication, bro?" He's skeptical. You don't get to do that in the movie. Well, you've established the rules. You don't get to have characters who then question what those rules are.
We have siblings, and Thanksgiving is going to be upon us soon. Ooh. And when my sister comes over and she starts talking about Nana, I don't go, as a matter of fact, Lauren, what was in her potato salad? What was her magical ingredient? Lauren, I'm just going to call you Lauren. I'll put my fingers up in air quotes.
I am your sister. I don't know what you're getting at.
Okay, person who's playing my middle-aged sister.
You don't get to do that. It's like vampire movies when they, like, just for convenience of that particular 90-minute story, like, oh, yeah, the holy water thing, that's jive. Oh, but the mirror thing? Oh, that's 100% real. No, the rules are laid out for you in books and otherwise. You don't get to pick and choose. It's not a la carte.
Gary, I now have to put you on the spot in my sweepstakes of reading ahead in the script. Tango out in the street. Now, remember, it's a 1-2 punch. He's out in the street firing at a Mack truck, and then he fires into the tanker truck. Or Stallone trying to take the horse off the roof. Schwarzenegger.
I'm gonna have to go Tango.
Well, that was just perfect.
I feel like I would not engage in any behavior, but you physically couldn't get me to get on a horse on a rainy night on a roof with just an open end into the city at night and go, yeah, come on. Like, I physically couldn't do that, where I think I could physically stand there and shoot at the Peterbilt. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think you've swayed me here.
Could you physically do that?
No.
Could
physically stand in the middle of that desert road and shoot at a feller and then maybe try to jump out of the way. But I don't think that I could be persuaded to jump a horse, even off a one-story building.
Right. Thank
Guys,
you.
Please.
So even residential.
Some things don't have to have a winner. You know, it's just like In-N-Out and Fatburger. I'm glad that they both exist. That's it. That's a message of peace as we wrap up this week's Good Sports. But before we do, let me tell you about Under Armour. I have just gotten a gaggle of items. Great range, great looking stuff, great fit inside, comfortable to work out in, and everything else. And thanks for that bounty, by the way, Under Under Armour. Performing gear that makes you better, or in this case, has made me better. New collection, Vanish. Engineered to be breathable, lightweight, quick drying. It won't cling or chafe. Plus fitness apps to help you put that gear to the test, like MyFitnessPal and MapMyRun. I got to get on both of those, ASAMP. MapMyRun can track runs, log workouts, and sync with Under Armour's connected running shoes or other devices like Samsung smartwatch. Sign up for premium and unlock even more tools to help you achieve your goals. Download MapMyRun and MyFitnessPal in the Apple app or Google Play Store for a free 30-day trial for new users. And take control of your goals today. Under Armour, dynamite stuff from you two today and all week long. Adam Carolla will be back next week with more good sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports, out, but stick around. Here comes the AP News. Good
sports. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook. Then leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Then subscribe to Fantasy BS, hosted by Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla. Also subscribe to Take a Knee. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Anaheim at the Grove, November 30th with Rob Riggle. Tickets and info on the live podcast. Andrea Bunch, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.